Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Man and Candace podcast. This is your girl Candace, back at it again with a brand new episode of the podcast. And today, this morning, this evening, this afternoon, this good night, I have a special guest with me. I have my friend Gabby here, met her at ASU. Gabby.
Hey.
Hey, everyone. So we're just going to be kicking back, talking. Feel free to listen. That's why you're here. But don't mind me. But Gabby, before we get into our conversations, I just wanted to ask you, since this podcast is about mental health and it's about bipolar disorder and everything to do with mental health, ins and outs, how do you feel having a friend that is mentally ill?
Well, I will say at some point it's sad, right? Like, you definitely want to be there for them. You don't want them to go through what they're going through, and you just want to be that support system. But, you know, you also kind of live and learn with that person too. And it also makes you more aware of what, you know, others could be going through and how you can best support others.
What are some moments that we had? So me and Gabby have been friends since our ASU days. And I graduated in 2017. And when did you graduate?
I want to say it was 2017. Yeah, same year. Mm-hmm. Same year.
And we were roommates at 922 Place. For those of you in Phoenix, Arizona, that is in Tempe across from campus. And it's funny how I got into her. Well, let me tell you the story about how I met Gabby, first off. But before that, I just wanted to say, Gabby, thanks for being my friend. I know it's not the easiest thing to deal with someone that is bipolar, to deal with and to like grow with them and to learn with them. So I really thank you for your acceptance, because I know not everybody gets that.
Of course.
But I met Gabby because I was being kicked out of my my room because my roommates hated me. I was causing a lot of drama. I was selling drugs out of that apartment complex, and I wasn't a considerate roommate. And so I was asked to leave the unit, and I was reassigned to Gabby's apartment, which was a couple floors up. Do you remember anything about that day of you getting a new roommate, like what you were going through?
Well, it was interesting. So we basically had four people living in the place, and the person that moved out, she quote unquote got a really great job in Canada. So she ended up leaving, and we had this vacant spot. But I remember the leasing person downstairs saying, hey, we have a new roommate for you. They're going to be moving here very soon. And so, you know, it was on my side of the floor, or my side of the room. So there was two on one side and two on the other side, bedroom wise. And so I remember, like, in my head, I'm like, let me try to clean the bathroom a little bit. Let me make it look somewhat nice, right? And so just kind of like wondering, like, who is this person going to be? Like, who's going to be my next roommate? And so I remember when you moved in, I know you made that comment of when you saw Black Girl hair products, you're like, yes.
Yes. No, you guys, seriously. Because, like, I didn't know if I was going to be roomed with a bunch of white girls again. And Gabby's Black, and I am mixed. I am half Navajo, and I am half Black. And it matters, okay? It really fucking matters to have someone who is Black around you or in front of anywhere. Like, you can't be the only Black person anywhere. You need someone other. We need to stick together.
Definitely.
And then, so, once I got in the new apartment, there was no one in there, so I had no idea who was going to meet. And when I got in the restroom, I saw Shea Moisture. I saw, I don't know what else I saw. I just knew there was Black girls on the product, so I knew there were Black girl hair. And you had gel, you had a clock in there that said, what would DJ Khaled said?
Oh, We the Best.
We the Best, and Major Key in her clock. And I was like, that's so cool. And so I knew she was a Black girl. So I was just patiently waiting for her to come home. And then she met me. And then the first thing Gabby did was pull out a glass of wine.
I did. Yep. I did.
And she introduced herself to me. I remember her first story to me was about a hardship that she had with volleyball. Do you want to talk about that?
No, I mean, it's not the best of story, right? But, like, I definitely had a scholarship at some point, and it didn't fall through. So, okay. But, you know, we moved on and things of that. But, yeah, that was kind of the whole reason why I came out here was to play volleyball. But ended up not working in my favor because I messed up my knee. So, Then I ended up just kind of going to ASU and doing my own thing and, you know, battling through majors, trying to figure out what you want to be. Because you never know at 18 what you want to do or who you want to be.
You never know. And, like, that is one thing that I will blame our parents for, is just that drilling of, you need to go to college. You need to go to college. You need to go to college. No other generation except us have that ingrained, that this is the only path to success in this country.
Yeah.
And it's not true. Because, guys, me and Gabby, we talk every day about what business we can start, what business we can do, what business, what is our next million-dollar idea. We're always constantly trying to find that million-dollar idea, billion-dollar idea. We just went to the car wash, and we were like, how much money could this make one person? How many times could this car wash be used for money? We were thinking about, like, bringing up garage spaces. How many times could we charge people for spaces in a garage? Just things like that. But I don't know about you, Gabby, but me personally, if I could do it over again, I wouldn't go to college for the first... That wouldn't be my first...
Starting point.
It would be my first avenue. I think that if I started a business right out of high school, like a little lash tech business or a little nail business or like anything, landscape, something small, it would have been substantial by now. And I'm going to be 29 in 3 months.
Yeah. But that's the thing too, though. You don't know what you don't know. And yeah, you only know like what your parents tell you. You only know like what you see on TV. And, you know, at that time, you have to go to college to get a great career. And so, like you said, you get drilled with that comment all the time. And so you do it and then you come out and you end up being in debt and then you're just wondering like, okay, so what now? Right. And then also you start learning throughout that, you know, a lot of jobs that you want to have, you have to have experience, and college is an experience.
College is not experience.
It might help you a little bit. It might get your feet in the door. But I would say for a lot of people who do want to go to college, like if you are thinking about majoring in something you're passionate in, and even if you're just going just to get the degree, that's cool too. But definitely try to find those entry level jobs while you're in college.
You know what we need to stop doing? We need to stop telling people to follow their passion.
Yeah.
I feel like it's detrimental to people's success, because I feel like it creates a lot of wishful thinking. And it doesn't instill a lot of discipline to get that wish, to get that dream done. Because you can dream, but what a lot of people don't realize is that there's an immense amount of discipline that you need to have within yourself. Especially, like, people have flaws. Like, what if you're an addict?
Yeah, you definitely don't want to go through with that. Yeah, definitely. But that's true. There is a lot of discipline that comes into what you want. And also, consistency is huge. I mean, that's something people, because, you know, people will quit something that they're going at just because it's not going their way as fast as they want it to, or they don't see it moving forward. But I feel like the best motivation is consistency with anything that you do. You'll get anywhere you want in life if you just be consistent with what you want to do. 110%.
Yeah, like with the Amazon seller thing you're doing, like I can see if you stay consistent with that, you're gonna blow up within like 12 months.
And that's all it is. It's just, and because there's always going to be bumps in the roads, right? Like, you're always going to have a time where it's like, this isn't working, this isn't making sense. Like, navigating through those situations is what's going to make you on top. 110%.
Yeah, and that's what I think ASU really taught me what to do. It's how to pivot in those situations. It didn't teach me how... Oh, guys, when I say ASU, I mean Arizona State University. Those of you who don't know where I reside... It's not Alabama State University. It's not Arkansas State University. It is Arizona State University. In 2013, we were the number one party school in the entire country.
Yep.
Don't fuck with us. Would you choose another major? A different major if you could go back? I would have.
I think I would have, but, you know, that's the thing. That's why I always feel like college is so hard. Like, it's so hard to pick what you want to do at 18. So
tell them what your first major was and what you graduated with.
So it's actually funny. I went through a roller coaster of like what I wanted to do. So like I know when I first started, like growing up, I used to love watching all those crazy like medical examiner shows. Like I used to love the Untold Stories of the ER, the Dr. G Medical Examiner. Like I used to love watching people like pop cysts and all that just crazy
Dr.
stuff.
Dr. G is
right?
The one who did the autopsies, right?
Yeah, she did all the autopsies and things like that. Like I used to be obsessed with that kind of stuff, and I try to memorize all the different terminologies that she would say, and I'd be like, this is what I want to do. So I went in actually for pre-med. That was my first major at
really?
ASU. It was pre-med, and I was so excited to do it. But when I got there and I got my classes signed up and things of that, they gave me two science classes and two science labs in the same semester.
That's a lot.
And that was an instant no for me, because I'm not the best at science, but to have a chemistry and a biology class plus two 3-hour labs wasn't going to be it for me. And I'm like, this is not going to be my next career, or like my next 4 years of doing pre-med. So then I dropped pre-med. And then I was like, okay, maybe I can just do nutrition, because I do have a huge background in food. Like my parents have a restaurant back at home, and food has always been a focal point, and my dad's even a chef.
And where's home?
Home is St. Louis, nice. Missouri. So that's why I thought about doing nutrition.
Mm.
And I started doing the classes, and as I'm thinking of what nutrition I wanted to do, because there's different branches of nutrition you can do at ASU.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought of dietetics, and I'm like, dietetics would be really cool, because even though I love food and food's been a huge, like I said, focal point in my life, I never really knew the behind the scenes of food. Like, it'd be cool to know like how many calories are in this, or like what you should eat. We just ate just to eat growing up. Like, my dad would cook every 2 hours. Like,
that time my family on
the dog. So, you know, we were just eating and eating and eating. And so it would have been nice just to kind of see like what that looks like on a caloric, you know, standpoint. So that's why I'm like, okay, nutrition dietetics might be a cool thing. So started doing nutrition dietetics. And then, you know, as I'm doing it, like I'm learning a lot. Like, I think it's a really cool major. But then I'm kind of thinking like, you know, what is my degree going to look like after I graduate? Like, do I need to go to grad school? Do I have to get my master's in it? Like, what do I have to do after that? And so when I found out with nutrition dietetics, you have to do a 4-year unpaid residency program. So meaning I had to take out another loan. I'd have to work in a hospital.
All these fucking loans, dude. I owe $22,000.
Yeah. And that's how they get you. They keep thinking, like, and the whole idea is that you'll be making so much money that you'll be able to pay it all back, right?
That's what they sold everyone. They're like, no, it's going to be okay. You're going to get your job. You're going to get this salary. Then you'll be able to pay it back. It's going to be no problem.
Yeah, like, it's going to be an easy $20 a month or something. And you'll still be able to get a house and have your car. Like, you'll be able to have a normal life and have kids, and you don't have to worry about it. But you know, people are paying $200-$300 a month. And even those people, like, I think of who's like those people who are doing med school, like, you know, they can go into the hundreds of thousands in debt
and come out with a doctor's salary, but having to pay their medical insurance license and having mm-hmm. to pay back their loan debt, they're making as much as someone like me.
And then you have to think about where they're going to live, right? Like, could you imagine moving to California after all that debt? And so, yeah, there's just so much more that went into that major that I had no idea about. So when I found out I had to do the 4-year residency program, I was like, you know, and you can't work a full-time job because that is your full-time job, but you're paying someone else just to learn. I didn't think that was what I wanted to do. That didn't sound...
Our school system in America is broken.
It
down
is.
Down from kindergarten, no, from pre-K to, like, your doctor program. Why is there... Never mind.
So with that, then I was like, you know what? I want to keep the nutrition thing going, but I don't want to do that residency. I don't want to have to, because I can't really do anything with a degree at a bachelor level. Like, I would have to go up and get the master's in it just to be like an RN or something like that, right? So mm-hmm. then I was like, well, there has to be something else. And I do like my major. I think this is really cool. So then I kind of moved towards nutrition management, like food management. So I could be like a manager at a restaurant or, you know, something, anything that kind of revolves around food. So I switched my major to that, and that worked out. I still kept the dietetics part of it. So I ended up dual majoring.
That's interesting.
Because I still wanted to have... I guess I wanted the option if I wanted to go that route, but I ended up keeping both. So I double majored. So I got my degree in nutrition, dietetics, and nutrition. And then I have a minor in family relations, and I really don't know how.
What were you going to do?
You know, it's funny because I did it because a lot of my classes kind of merged into that. But I can kind of see it playing out, like when I, you know, was a manager at certain restaurants, how you can kind of, I don't know, I guess it kind of tied in with like my coaching and like things of that, and like being able to help, you know, my employees with problem solving and things of that. And kind of, you know, that's one thing you have to learn too when you are like in the food realm and you're managing people, is how to kind of mesh with other people's personalities. Yeah. And so, because not everyone can be taught the same thing. So I think that kind of, in a way, helped me, but I don't think I took any core classes to get that. I think a lot of my classes kind of intertwined to give me that minor. But yeah, that kind of how that fell into place. And so then when I graduated, I got those degrees, and then, yeah.
And now what?
Well, now. No.
I started off with, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I didn't know what entrepreneur meant. I should have looked that up. I wanted to be an entrepreneur because everyone who I knew that was anybody that I thought was rich or fancy was called an entrepreneur. Entrepreneur this, entrepreneur that. And that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a CEO for a CEO's sake. I didn't know that a CEO had to start everything. You know what I mean? I didn't know that's what it went into. I didn't know that sometimes you could be the maker of your own company and someone else can come over and take over your spot as CEO. I didn't know any of that. I just wanted to be like a mogul. That's what I knew I wanted to do. I just wanted to be a mogul just for the title. And then like once I applied for ASU, I didn't have a high enough SAT score, ACT score to get into their business school. The W.P. Carey School of Business is one of the top business schools in the fucking country. And I couldn't get in. But I could get in with the business sustainability major. I wanted to be in their entrepreneurship program so they could cultivate some entrepreneurship skills into me. But I couldn't pass business statistics, so I had to drop out of the business school altogether. Which is funny, because I took criminal statistics with my criminology degree that I graduated in. But I say that to say this, it's like, I really had to be somewhat interested in my coursework for me to pass, mm-hmm. for me to graduate. I was high into crime shows growing up. My mom was working as a federal officer. I was around law enforcement, and I was to some degree a criminal, you know, like I never was arrested for selling drugs, but I was pushing Adderall. I was pushing Xanax outside of my little apartment with those three white girls. And like, I stopped once I got to, I got caught over there. But by the time I got to you, Gabby, there was no pills to sell. So I'm glad you didn't see that part of me. I really, because I think you would have been like, no, I'm not fucking with her. You definitely would have been like, I'm not fucking with her. She's crazy. Like, oh my God. I'm sure there's been moments where you've just been like, she is nuts.
I think we've all been there though. Like, I feel like regardless of, you know, mental illness or whatever the case is, like we all have our breaking point of crazy moments. And I mean, you see, I mean, I know TV is kind of fabricated, right? But like, you see it all the time.
All the time. And I think what we need to do as a society and as people with mental illness is we need to have more compassion for ourselves and for people with mental illness. I was driving to the dispensary the other night, and it was on Rose Garden and Deer Valley. I got off the exit and I saw a guy in a wheelchair, a homeless guy, nodded off on the side of the road. I bicker right, across the street is a lady nodded off in the middle of the road. And I screamed and I was just like, what is going on? Because like, in the midst of having to hustle and grind and do your 9 to 5, make sure your bills are paid, make sure you exercise, make sure you eat right, make sure, and then you got social stuff like social media, like are you popular? Like you got all this stuff running through your head, right? Mm-hmm. And then you look to your left and then you look to your right and then you see reality, the reality that we're all ignoring. We have an epidemic of fucking drug overdoses. of fucking drugs, and we have, and I would even argue, we've been having this epidemic a long time. I think pornography is a huge problem.
It definitely is, especially with everything being exposed this year. It's a huge problem.
And I want to talk about that. Like, growing up, like, Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, he wasn't Brother Love. I know him as P. Diddy.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know who Brother Love is. I didn't even know he changed his name to Brother Love. But I said this in a previous episode. Like, my hats are off to Cassie for coming out with the lawsuit, saying what she said, alleging that there are tapes in the house, that the sex freak-offs, that they were called, allegedly, were recorded. Some even allege that there are celebrities in these tape recordings. I have been thinking about getting on the dark web just to see if I could see something.
I'm sure it's on there. It has to be somewhere, right? Like, the fact that he recorded and, you know,
and used it for, like, blackmail and stuff like that.
So it's definitely out there somewhere. It probably would be on the dark web, honestly.
People are speculating. I was watching Joe Rogan the other day. They're speculating that it wasn't a raid to find evidence. It was a raid to get rid of evidence.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And kind of concerning at the same time, too. Because at that point, there's no argument. Yeah. Right? So, wow, that's wild.
Because at that point, because I remember how Cassie came out, and then recently, I mean, and then, like, other people started coming out.
Oh, yeah.
So he's, in his mind, he's probably like, well, why don't I just destroy all this evidence? Because if all these people want to come out, then there's going to be nothing to show for it.
That's really sad.
That's really, really sad. That is. I think he fucked Usher. I think he fucked Stevie J. I think he got head from Chris Brown. I'm just saying what I feel.
Yeah, no, he's definitely touched a lot of people in Hollywood. I mean, because, like, there's so many things that are coming out. And even Jamie Foxx. And, like, you know, we all loved Jamie Foxx. And, you know,
I'll get comfortable. I'll do something we've never done before. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's all these people are popping up. And even, like, who knows if Justin Bieber? Because, you know, Usher signed Justin Bieber. So who knows if he even got
Justin
some of that
stuff. Justin Bieber's having a baby.
Which is crazy.
With her.
Which is crazy. But, you know, it's just interesting. Like, all this stuff is, they're even pushing it back further. Like, even with the people that we're not talking about today, like, they're even saying, like, Jermaine Dupri is involved in
this
stuff.
They're pushing this back in the early 2000s, 90s.
Yeah. Like, even Biggie Small, like, they have put so many names into this. Like, it's way bigger than probably what we even could even imagine.
It's beyond my ass, and I'm 29. Like, I'm 28. Like, it's beyond me.
But it's just, it's sad and it's crazy. But then again, it's also like, you know, you wonder, like I said, this whole year, everyone's coming out, right? Like, everything's coming out. Like, they had that tape about Nickelodeon, which is that little short film about Nickelodeon and all of the crazy stuff they went
quiet
through.
Quiet on set.
Yeah. And, like, you know, what all those stars went through, and even, like, Drake Bell, and just, like, you know, all the different laws they, you know, they weren't, like, working with child labor laws. You know, a lot of these kids were manipulated into doing half of the things they were doing because, one, you don't know. I mean, if you're 10 years old trying to make money for your family and you're thinking this one time is no big deal, but
you're,
like,
just happy to be famous. Yeah. You're just happy to be on TV.
And these kids just have no idea how it's going to affect them later in life. Like, as you get older, you start seeing things. You start noticing. You start, like, understanding, like, wow, that probably wasn't the best thing. But, like, it carries with you, right? I don't know. I just feel like being famous at this point is just not worth it.
It's
like,
just not
I would
worth
rather
it.
Just be humble and rich and quiet to myself and not even put myself in the spotlight. Because we've all wanted to be there. I mean, when we
at
were growing up.
At some point in our lives, you've been lying if you ever didn't wish you were famous.
Yeah, like, we've all wanted to be in the
limelight. We've all been through that. I feel like we've all wished that. Some more than others. And I think some of us grew out of it and some of us didn't.
Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's not worth it with everything coming out. And even that Cat Williams interview, like, when
Jesus.
He went off about all these different celebrities and, like, you know, how they, it's just, and it's all true. Because what's funny is no one's even, like, tried to defend themselves.
Nobody.
But it was in a way of, like, trying to make us understand why they did it. Not that it was like, oh, I didn't do that. But it was like, let me tell you why this happened the way it did, because they couldn't fight it. Right? So
yeah, and I think the next people to go, which I really, really hope is this year, the Kardashians, they have to go.
Yeah, because they're only, and that's the thing, like, they really aren't doing anything. I mean, I'll give Kim some credit. She does have some things going on. Like, she's partnered, you know, she has her lawyer degree, and she's partnered with the women, with the WBA, and, you know, all this other stuff.
I'll wipe her lawyer degree with my fucking ass. She's not a fucking lawyer. She's not a practicing lawyer. I don't care what she said. She didn't pass that fucking bar. I don't give a shit. Like, she didn't pass that fucking bar. Where? Why isn't she practicing right now? You know she would be practicing right now if she passed that bar. Why is she not practicing? Balenciaga? Bullshit. Why isn't she freeing people? When's the last time she freed someone? Didn't she free someone, like, once a year? Where's her energy at? Skims? Okay.
I will say, though, out of all the Kardashians, I said she probably has the most going on. Everyone else, though, it's all about, you know, something situational, or it's their mother. It's their mother giving them.
You know, the real Kardashian, Dream.
She's so cute.
Dream got her hair pressed for the first. I saw a video of her. Ah, you mad? Because Northwest's last name is West.
But yeah, they definitely need to fall off. Because if you guys haven't, like, noticed, like, anytime you see something about the Kardashians, like, especially with, like, Kim, like, it's because of North. Because North
Kim
Kardashian
has me blocked.
Saying something crazy.
Kim blocked me.
Did she really?
She did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know what I said, but she blocked me.
Well, that's interesting. Uh-huh. But, yeah, like, you know, if Northwest isn't doing something crazy, right? Or if Courtney's kids aren't acting crazy and blacking out, being mad and saying crazy stuff.
Courtney just pisses me off because she's got to organize her fucking food. I'm like, you're not eating that food.
She's not. And then she's married to that one guy. Who is it? The guy from the band?
No, I'm sorry. I meant Chloe.
Oh, Chloe. Okay.
Courtney is married to Travis Barker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is wild.
That's wild. Can we talk about Travis Barker's daughter, Alabama, really quick? Have you seen her?
Yeah.
With her fucking edges. Her baby edges from her fucking crazy install, looking. Her frontal. Who told you needed a frontal? You have the hair we buy.
She does. We're trying to buy it from her.
Let's talk about it. I'm like, you are dumb.
But yeah, they're only relevant because of weird things that happen. It's not even about because of their success. Like, that's what's super annoying about that. I honestly hope they fall off some way, shape, or form. But, you know, as long as you're relevant,
There's this thing going around TikTok, like, we gotta block celebrities. Have you heard that?
No.
Well, there's just a couple guys. Well, one guy and then a guy, like, picked with a bigger audience picked on. You know how it does. Mm-hmm. They were like, hey, why don't we start blocking these celebrities so we can stop seeing their advertisements, we can stop seeing their posts, we can stop their engagement, we can stop their cash flow. Because what I'm really disappointed in is, like, how 50,000 people, or I don't know however many, last time I checked it was like 20,000 men, mostly women and children. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm on the side of Gaza or whatever. But, like, no celebrities except, like, The Weeknd and Bella Hadid spoke out.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I may not personally, like, really like them and really not, like, rock with them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we watched a genocide and we're just gonna pretend like it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what it is.
Did we not learn anything in 100 years?
No, of course not. History repeats itself. It's just sad.
It's just really, really sad. But I say that to say this. It's like, they have all of this influence. Mm-hmm. I attribute the BBLs, the lip fillers, all to the family.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I attribute it to, because that's what was in our face. Gabby, when I, like, was a freshman in college, all I would follow were makeup pages. And I had to stop following them because they were all trying to do their makeup like Kylie. And it made me feel so insecure. So I had to fucking stop following them.
That's interesting. Yeah. Wow. I guess, yeah. I mean, I can see that.
Because Kylie, like, Jenner was everywhere.
Yeah, and
we have the same birthday.
I didn't know that.
It would make me sad when it was my birthday and she'd have a big party and, like, I just have nobody.
Hmm.
I know.
That's interesting. I mean, yeah, she's very heavy in the makeup world. I will say that, but it's, but you know, and that's the thing too. Like, even when these people get like all these, it does start with the family, because you know, if your mom has one, or like your mom, like especially like with Kylie, like she'll never look like her daughter because of all. No, like no offense, but like her daughter will never look like her because she has all of this stuff up, right? Like her face is pent up. She has everything going on.
That's your like, mom.
Yeah, like. You'll like she won't have a lot of resemblance, and that's sad. And then that's gonna make her want to be like, "Well, mom, how I, you know what I mean?" And then that's gonna start that next.
I don't think Stormy looks like her mom or dad.
Yeah,
yeah. I...
But that's the thing. Like, it all starts with the family and like what families do, right? Because kids only they only do what they see, you know, and see what they hear, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're a reflection of your parents. I know. The older I get, I sound more and more like my mom and dad. Every
I look at my mom, and she's starting to look like my selfies.
See, and that's what happens. The older you get, you just have the same mannerisms, say the same things. Like, it's just interesting how, you know, how things play out the older you get.
Some last night, I was like, damn, I'm fucked up. I turned out fucked up. It's okay, I'm fixing myself. Because I've been on this journey of, like, healing trauma, and I talked about it in the last episode. But, like, I'm like, who am I to blame? I'm like, you can blame your mom. She raised you. And then I was just like, all right. And then I was like, no, I'm going to take accountability, like.
It's you, but then it's also your surroundings, 110%. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. and surroundings doesn't have to be the neighborhood you live in. It could be your family. It can be anything that surrounds you. It doesn't have to be just
your fucking friends. Average of your five friends. I wish I had five friends.
Even your schooling. Like, I know I didn't have the best high school growing up. I know, like, right before I was going to leave my high school, like, they were on the verge of losing their accreditation.
My shit was ghetto.
So, you know, it's all about your surroundings, who you're with, your family, like, who you interact with, and what you interact with the most. That makes that plays a huge part. And like what you pick up. And then as you go on, right, you'll learn from your mistakes. You'll see that probably wasn't the best idea. But
not everybody learns from mistakes.
No, that's true. Not everyone does. Only the strong. No, let me stop. But no, it's true. Like, there's just so much more into it, I feel like.
Oh, God. So, Gabby, to wrap this up, like, what's your 5-year plan?
Honestly, my 5-year plan, I've been starting Amazon FBA, which... so far, it's been going pretty good. Like, I'm kind of new into it, but, like, I'm getting a sale every day. And that's like, a baby step that's to, awesome. Like, what I'm trying to get to, right? So, like, my 5-year plan is to rack up on this Amazon that I'm doing. Hopefully, maybe as my... because I'm trying to document my journey as I go. Maybe even start, like, a social media page at some point. Like, with me documenting, like, how I'm doing and, like, what I've learned and, like, you know, tips and tricks on what... and maybe even make a guide, like... and then escalate my business to a point where I'm making passive income. Like, I want to get a house very soon. Like, I definitely want to start a family soon. Like, there's a lot of things that, you know, I have planned for myself. And I think I just turned 30 this year. So 30, like, when you hit 30, you have this weird thought, like, something hits you where you're like, what am I going to do with my life? Like, mm-hmm. you feel like you're almost done. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you don't want to retire when you're 65. And it's like, you know, it's like you start thinking of what you don't have and what you should have, right? And, like, what mm-hmm. you should prioritize and what, you know, you've been slacking on. So
do you feel like when you turn 30... do you feel like you turned around and looked at your 20s and like what are some things in your 30s that what are some things in your 20s that set you up for success? Would you say, if there was anything? Because I know our 20s are like a crazy time.
Yeah, 20s, you're trying to get your life together. You're trying to figure out who you are, what you want to be, like how you want to just... but then again, you're also trying to live your life, right? Like, some people are super sheltered, right, until they're 18. Like, I think of Katy Perry, how she came from this super religious family, and then when she broke off, she went crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes you need that time to find yourself and see and live on your own and learn who you are as a person, right? So I feel like my 20s kind of definitely molded me into what I want to be. I've had so many, you know, ups and downs and so many different things that, you know, you learn through and you grow through, right? Luckily, there weren't anything that were long-term, so thank God for that. But... you know, I think my biggest wins is, I mean, obviously going to college, I did finish that, like, regardless of how bogus it is, yeah. At some point, like, being able to actually go through it and get it and
is walk. is not for the weak.
Yeah.
It's not.
And being able to walk, like, that's a huge accomplishment, I feel like, regardless of, you know, how I feel about it now. It was a huge accomplishment. And then just being able to, you know, I've had internships, I've had jobs that have, you know, moved me in directions to where I can kind of do a little bit of not everything, but in the field that I'm in, I feel very solid in what I do, which is really great. That's good. So I feel like the jobs that I've had have been really successful and helped me get to this job that I'm starting on Monday, which is awesome.
Congratulations again.
You know, I just feel like that's a stepping stone for me. And, you know, it also shows me, like, it also gave me a perspective of life is super short. Like, people say it all the time and you kind of blow it off in your 20s. You're like, yeah, I'm going to do, you know, you're going to just do whatever you want to do. But I feel like when you hit 30, it's almost like, oh, crap, I don't have that much
time. I'm going through that right now.
Literally.
I'm going through that right now. I'm, like, telling myself, I'm like, okay, like, I asked you your five-year plan. Oh, forget to finish your five-year plan, by the way. But, like, I was telling myself, I'm like, life is short. What do you want to do?
Exactly.
Stop thinking about the past. Stop dwelling over the past, mm-hmm. and just move forward.
Exactly.
And stop telling yourself you're old. Stop telling yourself, like, mm-hmm. you don't have time, or it's going to take too much time, or that's for young people, or
yeah.
something like that. Something in that variation. So I'm going through that. But, like, after, you know, what else did you want to do in the next 5 years?
Well, get a house is a big one. So getting a house, like, I would love to start a family sometime soon. Like, you know, and just be able to travel. Like, before the pandemic, traveling was a huge thing for me. Like, I used to love going everywhere, right? And, you know, when you hit 30, you think you don't have so much time. And then it's like, then when you start having kids, it's like, that's 18 years gone, right? And then another one,
shit.
It's another 18 years gone. And
shit.
I know, like, when I have my kids, it'll be so hard for me to even want to distance. I mean, I think, especially in the beginning, I don't want to distance myself, right? I'm going to be super annoying. I'm already annoying. So, you know, being able to travel and, like, see the world, because the world is big, but it's also really small at the
same
time.
It's really small. If you just keep going west past California, you're going to land in China.
Exactly. And, you know, Russia's actually, not that we're going to Russia. Don't go to Russia. Guys, not condoning Russia. But, you know, Alaska used to be a part of Russia. For fun fact reference. Literally, Alaska used to be a part of Russia. It broke off and moved closer to us, and the United States bought it. And so, you know, if you do go to Alaska, just know you'll see a lot of, like, Russian antics.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you fly from Alaska to Russia, it's only 6 hours. Like, it's like, and then you think about going to Japan, or, like, you know, it may take a long time, but, like I said, the world is so small. And then you start meeting people, and you're like, wow. This is a really small world. So, you know, I just feel like at 30, I just kind of, like I said, I want to really, like, hone in everything I've gone through, right? And kind of, like, move forward and start thinking of, like, what I really need. And, like, also think about what you have, right? Like, I'm grateful I'm not homeless. I'm grateful that, you know,
Amen.
I have somewhere to stay and I have a
Amen.
Car and I can drive.
Amen.
Like, there's so many things that could be so much worse in the position that I'm in, right? So I'm not saying, like, everything's been horrible in my 20s, but I kind of wish I would have taken things a little bit more seriously back in my 20s. But then again, when you're 20, that's not... I feel like you should live your life at some point, and that's what I did in my 20s. So I'm not going to regret it. But my biggest thing right now is just, you know, I want to get... My biggest step is getting a house and just having a family. And then I also want to travel a bit more. Like, I want to set myself up for, like, retirement. And, you know, I don't want to be working until I'm 65. That is
I don't want to be working until
the goal.
That's not... I don't want to be working until... to be honest, I don't want to be working and past 55.
I don't want to have to wait till my retirement check comes in for me to. And who knows if I'll even have my 401k by the time I get there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
I don't want to wait that long. Like, I'm trying to set myself up to where, you know, I'll be good by 50. 50 would be good. Like, I don't want to retire. I want to have a really nice. I want to work hard so I can live my life when I want to. You know, if that makes sense.
And as someone with mental illness, it's hard to work hard to set yourself up for success, because it's like, this would be the time to do it, right? In your
mm-hmm.
20s. But, like, they don't, as someone with mental illness, I didn't anticipate that how much more of the weight of the world I was going to feel
mm-hmm.
because I am bipolar. And so I have to, like, train more to live life, if that makes sense. I have to, if
yeah.
life had a gym, you know, I'm in there more than the average person
yeah.
just to get through the day, because
yeah.
I have bipolar. and it's frustrating. But like with my 5-year plan, I want to take this podcast from audio only to video and audio. I want to invite guests that are local, guests that are, I want to be able to fly them in.
Oh, you know what I mean? Nice.
Yeah, yeah. I want to have a studio that I can go to. Because I don't want to live with this in my home.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it's bad, but, like, for the first 3 years, it's just been me and this phone, like this.
But it's been working.
It's been working.
Exactly.
And it's been reaching people, and, like, you know, people really like it. And, like, you know, I'm the only black, like, female podcaster, black Navajo podcaster, that's for sure.
I haven't heard of any of
those. Nope. And, like, so I want to buy a house in the next 5 years. And then I want to figure out who I am and what I want. That's what I want in the next 5 years, to have that set in stone. Because I realized, or shit, before 30. Because, like, I realized, like, I don't really know who I am without weed and drugs.
Yeah, it's a whole different feeling.
It's a whole different feeling, because having that identity, like, all my friends were... It was like I hung out in a Scooby-Doo van all the time.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, and I'm in this arrested development. I'm getting my hair done on the 25th because I'm just tired of looking like a kid sometimes. And, like, I'm tired of listening to music that I listened to when I was a kid all the time, because I'm stuck there, because that's when I started using drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm just glad I have you as a normal friend.
I don't know if I'm that normal, but...
Well, you're not on crack, that's for sure.
Thing, no. No, no, no.
You know, and you don't... And even though, like, we smoke weed, you're not a crackhead with it.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I am.
That's so funny.
Like, yeah, but... Gabby, thank you for coming on the Man and Candace podcast. It was
awesome. Thank
you
for having me.
I loved having you. Hope to have you back on again.
Of course.
When something, if shit with Diddy goes down, we'll be here to break it down.
Oh, my God. And that's not going to go away anytime soon.
No, it's not. You know, Harvey Weinstein got out of jail.
Did he really?
He did. I know, it's the same face I made.
Okay.
No. Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night. Thank you for listening, my friends, and I bid you adieu. Bye-bye.